good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. Man, it's a weird schedule this week, and we actually were pushing back when we were going to do this, the Wednesday edition of the podcast, to Wednesday evening, but we're putting it out a little bit earlier, if you're listening right away, because now it's turned into something totally different. Now it's an emergency podcast. Ben and I had to hop on here to talk about the biggest news in sports right now, and that is that the Big Ten has announced they're playing ball. They're kicking things off. Ben and I have talked about it over the last, couple of months, really. What Big Ten prospects were going to do if the league wasn't playing. Some guys have already opted out. Now we're saying that we are getting a Big Ten season. Ben, wrapping your mind around all of this, where are you at? Where's your head at right now thinking about the Big Ten now kicking off playing football after we've seen the ACC, the Big 12, and some of these group of five teams already play this past weekend?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that needs to be said is, you know, congratulations and acknowledgement to the people in the Big Ten, not just, you know, Kevin Warren and the university presidents and commissioners, but also those members of the Return to Football Committee, the football players and the medical staffs who made the presentation to say that this is now safe. If you read through a lot of the reporting on this, you'll see that the main thing that changed for the Big Ten was access to rapid antigen testing, which is a daily turnaround, a 15-minute turnaround. You find those who are positive tests a lot quicker. You don't have to worry about contact tracing nearly as much. There's, you know, cardiac screening that's been included. You know, the players are going to have a much more rigorous procedure of getting tested to limit the spread of COVID in the program, in the building, in the event that it's brought in. This is a very big deal.
Right.
Because, we have to contextualize here. The SEC is playing, and the SEC has been playing the whole time. The SEC was never canceling.
Right.
The Big Ten canceled and came back. And so the instinct is to say the SEC was right. And I'm not sure anybody's right in this situation. I'm not sure there's the correct answer for playing college football in a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an easy or neat thing. But the SEC, you know, LSU's Ed Orgeron gives the quote yesterday that, you know, so many players, most of my team has contracted COVID-19. Not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it, he said. And he said, you know, hopefully that once you catch it, you don't catch it again. Which, you know, is something that's been discussed with COVID throughout this entire process and just is not backed by science. There's no reason to believe that if you catch it, you're not going to catch it again. But the SEC's approach was, regardless of what happens, we're going to play football. And what happened in LSU, as an example, is most of the players got COVID. And that is unsafe. We don't know the long-term health ramifications for those players.
Right.
We don't know the short-term ramifications of who they came in contact to, who got COVID from them, and how that spread. We don't have that information. The Big Ten stopped practicing as a self-imposed ban, a self-imposed, you know, stoppage of football and of those the gatherings necessary to get the football season going, hoping that this would prevent unnecessary infections and possible long-term sickness and even death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with more with more rigorous and advanced testing available, they believe they're able to come back. Again, I'm not sure who's right. I'm not sure if the first decision was right, the second decision was right, the SEC decision was right. You have the Pac-12, who even if they wanted to come back, couldn't because California and Oregon, their state rules are going to limit practices altogether.
Right.
That wasn't the case in Michigan and Wisconsin. So it's not that
you had Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver from USC, basically sending out an open letter via social media to the governor of California, because that's got to get passed before they even, like, we even start talking about the Pac-12. I didn't mean to throw you off there. I just wanted to bring a prospect into it, as someone who's been pleading not to the university right. president, but to a lawmaking official.
Right. So the most important thing is to say, you know, for those Nebraska players who so desperately wanted to play, and obviously, you know, we have that from Ohio State, we've had that from Michigan, Penn State as well. Shaka Toney, edge for Penn State, yesterday tweets, "This is about football. Every day that you're delaying is screwing with our mental health. We're just sitting here wondering. We don't know what's going on. Please make a decision. We just need to know so we can."
Yeah. Eat. Yeah.
Right. So there's to everybody who's been affected by this decision and wanted to play football, congratulations that it's back. We're happy for you. The important thing here, in my opinion, is not to adjudicate like a morality, but like a hierarchy, like who did it right and who did it wrong. The Big Ten tried to do it safely. The SEC went for it. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know what that's going to mean long term until we get there. And that's the scary thing about all this. But the Big Ten believes they can bring football back safely. They're bringing football back the weekend of October 23rd. And I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't excited to watch Big Ten football, Trev.
Yeah.
First time in my life I've been excited to watch Big Ten football, mind you.
Can't wait till Ohio State's up 35-0 in the first quarter. No, there's a lot that goes into this, and I think that you definitely bring up a good point in that there wasn't a blueprint for this. You know, I think finding a right and wrong, even as things play out, it might be easier to say in hindsight given what's going on, but still, like you said, the Big Ten made their decisions because they were trying to be as safe as possible. Now, when other schools didn't come to, or other conferences didn't come to the same conclusion, then it kind of put a light on the Big Ten that said, hey, well, really, why are you doing this? You know, Greg Sankey, he's the commissioner of the SEC, he said right after the Big Ten announced that they were not playing football, I look for, his words were, I look forward to finding out what was different today when they canceled the season, as opposed to days prior when they announced their schedule. That is where I am sympathetic to players. You know, players want to play. Coaches want to coach, right? I mean, like, they're in this situation. We're seeing this around the country. There are people who really care about this pandemic. There are people who don't care about it as much. These guys, when it's their livelihood, when it's all they know, like, they just want to play. Like, they're healthy in the meantime. They're looking at what's good for them, and they want to play. I don't think that that's a shock to anybody, but it just seems sort of manipulative, the order in which the Big Ten did things, when it was, like, coming out with the adjusted schedule, and then days later just canceling the season. And these guys just don't know what's going on, and I think that it was kind of unfair to them, because even though I think that the Big Ten was acting in good faith, like, they wanted to just go, nope, we are currently in a pandemic, we don't want to play, we're not going to do it. Okay, that, I get that logic in a bubble, if you will. No pun intended with the word bubble here, talking about the pandemic. But, like, just from that point of view, I understand that. But then I felt like you had a lot of players throughout the Big Ten who were actively trying to figure out, okay, well, I mean, you're kind of like dangling this thing over us, like, okay, well, maybe we'll have a spring season, or maybe we'll start late. Okay, well, which one is it? Because now I don't know whether I'm going to opt out, or whether I'm going to stay in, or am I going to stay the course? Am I going to keep my body in shape? I'm going to act like a season's going to happen. And a lot of this was just, it was tough for players to really navigate everything that was going on. And I think the Big Ten, their intentions were good the whole time. But now, just because of the flip-flop, and it looks bad on him. You know, for example, the Wisconsin chancellor, when was this? This was, I think, last week. They said the Big Ten shutdown for fall sports were for two primary reasons. One, the inability to test adequately, which you mentioned there. We now have a new test that is reliable and quick that they could get to. And okay, there you go. The concern is done. But then the other one is the uncertain heart-related issues surrounding COVID-19. That's not gone. You know, like, that's still there. And so you go, okay, well, if it was a twofold reason, I understand that now the accelerated testing is better. So, okay, let's play ball. But the heart-related issue thing, like, that's not exactly going away. Two, right. it's a strict setup. Have you seen the stipulations for this? The Big Ten does not have a built-in bye week, okay, for their entire schedule, which means that if a team reaches the threshold where they must shut down operations, which I'll get to in a sec, they don't have this built-in bye week that they can move around and have flexibility for. You know why? because they're trying to make sure that they get their season done in time to compete for the college football playoff and compete for national championships. That's what they're doing here. They then have a 21-day suspension for any players that are testing positive. Ben, 21 days, the math is right. There's 7 days in a week. That's 3 weeks. 3 weeks out of an 8-game schedule, that's almost half the year. That's without even football injuries that you might miss for having to, quote-unquote, kind of like quarantine yourself if you test positive. And then the big one here is a shutdown threshold of 5% positivity rate on the team. That's what's crazy to me, because let's say that 85 guys are on a team. If five guys test positive, you got to shut the whole thing down? What, you don't think that five players are going to test positive amongst these schools now that they're coming back to action?
Yeah, so, okay, Auburn's first game is what? What's today? 16th? Auburn's first game is in 10 days.
Yeah.
Auburn currently has 7% COVID.
Yeah.
In their program. So, if they played in the Big Ten, they would not be able to be practicing right now.
Right.
Which means they wouldn't be playing in 2 weeks.
Right.
So that's where you're at, right? That's the rigor you need to meet. That kind of goes back to the difference between how the SEC and the Big Ten are approaching this that I brought up earlier. Right. There's a... That setup, whether good or bad, is very likely to mean that the Big Ten season doesn't get played in full by everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I just wonder, because like then, I think a big reason why the Big Ten is coming back is, sure, they want things to go up, but let's be real. There's a lot of money to be made, and there's a lot of money to lose by not having a season. There's a lot of people to piss off, and I think that they're trying to do right by a lot of people. There's not a blueprint for what's going on. As I said before, every conference seems to be handling it differently. But let's say the big reason is, hey, we're going to have an 8-game schedule because we want to get things in to not only make sure that operations for the 2021 season can actually happen and not get too delayed by everything that's going on, but they want to compete for national championships. They want to be involved. Well, Ohio State, we learned it, now that they're back in the fold, they are the, I think, favorite to win the national championship this year, or at least win the Big Ten. Dude, if Ohio State reaches a threshold that Auburn's at, like you just mentioned, they're missing 3 games. Are you putting a, let's just say, a 5-0 Ohio State team in a college football playoff? I know this is obviously less important than something else, but the answer is no, right? You've played 5 games, and it could be like Rutgers. 5-0
Ohio State made the college football playoff, I would be irate.
But we're talking about 5-0 Ohio State as the quote-unquote Big Ten champion of the year for what it is. Do they get in? Talent-wise, they have one of the highest odds to win the national championship, and now it's basically like you're putting them in no matter what.
Right, but also, like, if let's say they have, right, so they have 3 weeks off, the rest, the compared attrition,
I know,
it's a huge advantage.
This year is going to be absolutely wild. So what did you read about the Pac-12? What does this mean about the Pac-12? I think you got a little bit more eyes on what was going on there.
Quick, there's another piece of news, Big Ten here.
Okay, all right.
Schedule's coming out later this week, but the setup is a 8+1 season, and the plus one is not like an out-of-conference game, but rather on conference championship weekend, which I'm not entirely sure what weekend that is just yet because of the schedule, as we talked about, but on conference championship weekend, not just number one team from the East will play number one team from the West, but one from the East and one from the West will play. Two from the East and two from the West will play. Three from the East and three from the West will play against each other all the way down.
Okay.
So we're going to have, like, you know, Minnesota versus Ohio State for the national championship, or for the conference championship, excuse me, at 8 p.m. And you're going to be able to warm up for that with, you know, Northwestern versus Maryland at 3:30.
Certainly don't hate that.
I mean, well, it's going to be bad football games, but
I mean, it's all going to be bad football this year.
Right. So it's interesting to see that's how they're getting an extra game in there. So they're going to have just everybody play each other on conference championship weekend, which is going to be fun to see kind of how that affects the standings. The full schedule isn't out. So you're getting, there's 7 teams in each division, East and West, for the Big Ten. It's a 14-team conference. Mm. So you only have 6 opponents within your division. So in order to play an 8-game schedule, you will have to play 2 programs outside of your division. And that's, you know, a good thing, because like you wouldn't get Purdue, Indiana unless you had that. You know, Wisconsin would play Minnesota and nobody else that's good, right? Iowa, whatever. So it's good that this is happening because you'll be able to schedule a couple games that people are used to seeing. But it'll be interesting to see if, like, you know, you do get Minnesota, Ohio State at late November, and then again for the conference championship game 2 or 3 weeks later, which obviously happens in a regular season, but that's on the table. Anyway,
Ben, let's say you're a huge Big Ten fan. Like, I'm just setting up the scenario here. You're you're a Big Ten fanatic, and let's also say that by the time this rolls around, like end of December, maybe they'll be letting fans back into the stadium. Like, you can go to these games. What if you wanted to go to the noon game and then get in your car and drive to the 8 o'clock Big Ten championship game and do a Big Ten doubleheader because you're such a big fan?
Wow, such a big fan. Big spelled with a one.
But because you're driving so many miles, you want to make sure that your brake pads are up to date. You know, Big Ten country, you got some hills going in there. You got to make sure the car is right. It's a long trek. But you're a huge Big Ten guy. You want to see that noon game. You want to go see the Big Ten championship game, but you got to make sure your brake pads are intact. Ben, if you needed to make sure that your brake pads are what they need to be for such a fan pilgrimage, where would you go to make sure you're getting new brake pads the right way?
Trevor.
Yes.
Only one place you can go.
Yeah, as a noted Big Ten fan yourself, there's only one place you can go.
The official car parts dealership of the Big Ten. It's asterisk. Don't quote me on that. That's not real.
That's not true.
RockAuto.com.
It's RockAuto.com, folks. RockAuto has been serving Big Ten fans online for over 20 years. I mean, Big Ten fans and basically everybody else. They've got all the car parts that you're ever going to need, no matter what you're driving, no matter what the make and model is. If you're looking to make an upgrade, if you're looking to fix something on your car, or like I just said there, if you're looking to be, you know, plan ahead, make sure that your car is good to go for a long road trip. They've got you covered. They've got great customer service, so you can look through their website. It's super easy to navigate, and if they don't have the parts that you're looking for, you can hit them up. If you do give them a call, if you email them, if you send a little comment in, just let them know that Locked On NFL Draft sent you. That would really help us out. They've got incredibly low prices, an amazing selection, all the car parts that you are ever going to need for whatever Big Ten journeys that you are going to be on this football season. Hit them up over at rockauto.com. Ben, let's take this and now do a little scouting for this, because over the last couple of weeks, whenever we've brought up Big Ten prospects, we've done it with the asterisk, well, you know, they don't get this final year, and we've talked about how big that is for a lot of these guys, but now we get the chance to potentially see them. Who are some players in the Big Ten who, you know, we can naturally talk about the guys who have opted out and whether they should be able to be back in, but who are you really excited about to now see here this season in the Big Ten?
Right, so the big names obviously calibrate to those prospects who did opt out, who we spoke about as wishing that they would stay because they have development that's still available for them. So, for example, Jason Owa, the Penn State edge, who we talked about. I'm pretty sure you had him ranked. Did you have him ranked in your top five or no?
Where was he? I will look it up. You got to give me give me about 20 seconds on that, and I can tell you.
I think you liked him better than me overall, but Owa is 6'5", 257 with every tool in the box.
No, I did not have him in my top five, by the way.
Right.
But he's a freak, athletic freak.
Yeah, athletic freak. I know that you had Journey Brown as your number two running back, right?
I did, yes, yep.
And Journey Brown is a player who's a one-year starter for Penn State who, once again, every tool in the toolbox. I mean, the explosiveness, the speed, something that we talked about being highly drafted regardless of if he took another snap, but he needs work. He needs development. He needs to even out on his reads, even out on his decision-making process to knock down on the negative plays while also proving that he's a complete player in terms of pass protection and in terms of pass blocking. So just in Penn State, two of the biggest guys in that program, especially with Micah Parsons opted out, Jason Owa and Journey Brown are critical players when it comes to looking at, you know, Big Ten football being back. Now, Micah Parsons brings up an interesting point, which is, are we going to see players who opted out potentially opt back in? Parsons is going to be a top five pick no matter what happens. Michigan offensive tackle Jalen Mayfield will not be. Jalen Mayfield has a ton of room to grow mm-hmm. as an offensive tackle prospect. Once again, I'm 95% sure a one-year starter. He's a redshirt sophomore this upcoming year. So, yeah, a one-year starter for Michigan, who good film, good length, great measurables, but technically he needs more work building his base, especially anchoring against speed to power rushers. Mayfield opted out. He opted out for the season. I'm quite certain he was declaring as well. He wasn't opting out and returning. I'm quite certain he was declaring because he's a decently highly ranked guy, but he has more money to gain going back to school and fighting for a potential top 50 pick mm-hmm. by just going out there and having a solid season, a solid performance. I think that's available to him, right? Daniel Falele out of Minnesota, who's, 6'9", 400 pounds at tackle. Another good example. Stay on Michigan with Quiddy Pay and Aiden Hutchinson. Pace probably is what he is, but I wish he was a more technical rusher, and I'd like the opportunity to see it.
Right, now Aiden Hutchinson gets a chance.
Yeah, exactly. And Aiden Hutchinson is a guy who was primarily a rotational player last year, and with a full year of starting, it's going to show you what he can be as a true interior rusher.
Right.
Right, so, yeah, that Ohio State, I mean, besides the obvious of Justin Fields getting an opportunity to confirm himself as the dude over
Olave
Trey Lance.
Out too, though, didn't he?
Yeah, Olave, but I'll be honest with you. I know what I need to know about Olave to like
this
him.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. I think Trey Sermon's probably your biggest one out of Ohio State
okay.
in terms of
yeah.
what does he look like rushing Big Ten. It's a totally different scheme. It's a totally different blocking style. And also,
Wyatt,
just outside of Oklahoma is going to tell you something you need to know about him.
Wyatt Davis opted out, but we already know what we're getting out yeah. of Wyatt Davis, I think, too.
Staying in Ohio State, Baron Browning, I think, is a guy. That was a pretty loaded.
Oh, yeah. Browning was a player that we were definitely looking forward to seeing an extra year from. So, yeah, he is.
Because he was rotating around with people, yep. right? Like, he wasn't a full locked-in starting job. So, he's probably a guy you think about.
I feel like when you look at these lists of potential guys that you're looking forward to, and we noted this during summer scouting, it just felt like this year, more than years in the past, we saw a lot of really high-ceiling athletes that were still pretty raw as prospects or mastering the position that they had. Maybe not even solidified in a single position because we're seeing college football get really versatile with a lot of these athletic players. You mentioned Oa. You mentioned Pay. Browning was another one. Like guys like that who, man, they're super athletes, but they're just not honed in. They're just not technical yet. They need a lot more snaps. And so I think this is definitely to their advantage here. Sean Wade, I wish that they would let him opt back in because the language of the way some of these players opted out matters. Because I think that there were a lot of players, at least early on when they were doing those graphics where, it has a super cool picture of them and then a font on the side and then writing a message to their team and all that kinds of stuff. They would sometimes put in there, I'm opting out of the season
and
will be declaring for the 2021 mm-hmm. NFL draft. And they do that because then they can sign an agent. They can start making money. They can go for sponsorships. They could do all that kinds of stuff, which is to their advantage. And I was all for them being able to do that as soon as possible. However, I also fully believe that the NCAA should allow these players, even if they have signed with agents, to play college football this year if they want to. This is an unprecedented season. As we said before, there was no blueprint on how this happened. I already think that the NCAA holds a lot of these players back from being able to achieve what they deserve to achieve while they are labeled as student athletes. But even this season, for as much as I think the NCAA is not going to budge on things like that in a regular year, this is not a regular year. Sean Wade made this declaration last week. There's no telling whether Sean Wade even knew that the Big Ten was going to budge. And if he would have waited, what are we talking, like 5-6 days later? It'd be different. He'd be suiting up for Ohio State. He'd be favored to win the Big Ten, potentially even the national championship. And he would get a quote-unquote full season as an outside cornerback with snaps at outside corner that could really help him get drafted a lot higher. There's no telling whether or not Sean Wade even knew that this information was coming out. And that's the part that's not fair to a lot of these athletes who were making decisions under different circumstances that were ever evolving, in which I believe they should then have the freedom and the right to choose to get back into it. Because of how much I believe that they were probably left in the dark, because even the decision makers didn't know which way that they were going to go. You know, you could say that there was an argument that was like, okay, I can't necessarily blame them for not knowing exactly where things would be a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now. I get it. It's an ever-evolving situation. But in that same spirit, you should allow these players to opt back in if they have, even if they've signed with an agent. That's my take. Let Sean Wade be great.
I'd like to see it. The agent thing, I think, is tricky. I think that when
I don't think it's going to happen. I think if you've signed an agent, they're just going to say, no, you can't do it. Just because that opens a massive can of worms that then they have to deal with later down the road.
That but was Ben Solak enunciated massive right there. Greatly appreciated the inflection.
You know, we got to bring some drama on this podcast. There hasn't been enough this week.
So, yeah, Big Ten football. Sean Wade.
Hope so, man. I'm excited to see a lot of these guys. Journey Brown's one that really popped out to me right away as a guy that now I'm excited to see. I wish we could see guys like Rashad Bateman, Sean Wade, Micah Parsons, Wyatt Davis. But, you know, even for the guys that are coming back, I think that it's going to be important for a lot of players. There were a lot of Big Ten players specifically that you and I looked at and you said, man, another season could really help them out. Now, as of right now, I guess we should take our own words and know that things are always fluid in this situation. It looks like they're going to get it. If the Pac-12 ends up changing their course as well, we'll be able to bring you an emergency podcast then. Oh, I did want to mention this before we got out of here for the Wednesday podcast. So Ben and I were initially planning on recording this later in the day because we were waiting for NFL Game Pass to release the All-22 because we wanted to watch a couple of specific players that we wanted to take to the podcast. And that's the structure that we're going to have throughout the year. On Wednesdays, we're going to call it like Watchers Wednesday or something like that. And what we want to do is we want to come into this Wednesday podcast having really put the microscope on two or three players that Ben and I can really dig into the X's and O's, the nitty gritty of, and be able to tell you all about that. But we also want you guys to get involved in the show as well. We want you guys to be able to look at the All-22 if you have access to Game Pass, or go just rewatch the game of the broadcast film of what you saw on Sunday. I would love to hear from all of you out there, the allies of the podcast, and allow you guys to get in on the show this way as well as we study the NFL. If there's somebody you really want to talk about, say CJ Henderson. You loved how he played in his first outing out as the Jaguars. You went back and you watched the film, and there was some nuance. It was like, man, I loved how he played man coverage against both Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton. I loved how they would put him on either side. Like, little stuff like that. Send either Ben or I a 60-second video or voice recording talking about a certain prospect. You could send it to me on Instagram. Like, you could do something as simple as just sending me a selfie video of you talking about a prospect. I will take the audio from that and I will put it into the show. We're going to choose a handful of audio examples every single week, and we will put them on the show, and then Ben and I will talk about it. This will give us an opportunity to hear from you guys, but also we hear this from you guys all the time too. You go, hey, you're not seeing my team maybe the way that you should. And this gives you guys the chance to really present that to us from people who watch every snap of a certain team. This lets you guys get on the show. I'm super excited to hear the angles, the points, the scouting notes that y'all are observing from around the league, as well as us giving them to you. So that's what we're going to do on Wednesday. Ben, I'm super excited about this format. I like it.
I'm excited to take a crystalline piece of audio submitted by a listener, argue with it. They have no chance to argue back because they're not live. And then I will look right every single time. And then I will be happy with this. But I think it's going to be really cool. So I think that getting the opportunity to define a few days out, this is who we want to talk about.
Yep.
Get thoughts from you guys to see what you're seeing and how you're experiencing it. One of the things I always feel like, especially about the Eagles, that I'm too close to them to understand things about them at times. And then the opposite can be true of teams that I don't get to watch all the time. So it's very cool that we get to bring people in who are fans, bring people in who are watching from that perspective, and have some form of a discourse with them on a podcast. I think that's pretty sick.
The Watchers of Wednesday's podcast. I guess the name, we're still brainstorming the name, but I like that. Becoming one of the Watchers of Wednesday's pod, whether it's your team or an All-22 of somebody else from around the league. This is allowing us to really get into why the game is having the results that it is and why we're having the opinions on certain players, really getting down to the details. That's what this podcast is all about. That's going to be coming next week. So again, had to do an emergency podcast this week for a couple of different reasons, but mainly to say that the Big Ten is back. So we're going to get to the Watchers of Wednesday next Wednesday's podcast. Very excited about it. Be thinking about that as you are watching games this Sunday. Think about what clips you want to have. Send them in. You can send them in Monday, Tuesday. We'll normally record this podcast on Wednesday instead of the night before we release on midnight, because we'll give you guys a little bit of time to go look at the All 22 if you wanted to before you send us something, and just give you guys more time to get us entries to get in on the show. Very excited about that format tomorrow. Ben and I are running through the week 2 games of the NFL. We got to get an update on how we did this past weekend. I can't remember. I don't have a beat on it. There's too much stuff that happened. I was too wound up in it. We got to get Joe to let us know how Ben and I finished, because week 2 is coming up tomorrow. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.